Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
And it's time to get classy.
It sure is.
So, it happened again.
It did.
The thing where we record a podcast.
Uh-huh.
I feel like we did a good job. We go to bed.
And the very next day, someone gets injured and changes everything.
Yeah.
So...
I feel silly.
Right. And if you are a wrestling or WWE fan and you've been somehow...
sequestered
from the internet, sure. Seth Rollins, while on their UK tour, has gotten injured. It was a knee. I can't remember the specifics of it, but it was a knee injury. He's going to miss 6 to 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
Unless he sees the Cena doctors, then he might be out like 2 months. So instead, you know, obviously they had to take the title off of him.
Yeah.
So. Originally, when it was reported by Jonathan Coachman, like, it's supposed to be, like, a legitimate news thing, whatever.
Okay.
It was probably, like, you know, Triple H texting Coachman, like, hey, tweet this.
Say this.
Say this. Act like it's a news story. It is a news story,
I mean,
sure.
It is a news story. It's very much a news story.
But...
not for real people.
But then again, like I said, like, you know, like we mentioned when ESPN shut down Grantland, ESPN's out of the entertainment business, remember?
Yeah.
Right. So the way they originally made it seem, it made it sound like there was going to be like a one-night tournament in Survivor Series, which I am completely okay with. I am all down for it.
Yeah.
Turns out that's not the case.
No, it's a tournament starting now, which I actually like better.
Sure, so, multiple week thing. It makes this week's Raw, this SmackDown, and then next week's Raw meaningful.
The matches on it are meaningful.
Right.
And part of it is like... because of the podcast, I feel like I'm in a situation where I have at least some obligation
mm-hmm.
to watch. And so having these things where I have this obligation to watch, it's still this kind of like, oh, these matches mean something. Because I don't think there was a single... I guess the main event was a Just Cuz match. Not the Undertaker main event. The match main event with... what are they called? New Day and...
yeah, because it was one of those things just like... The show kept going, and I'm like, New Day is on the UK tour, right? You know, because usually they're out there by now, but I guess they wanted to, you know, save that for later.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah, I mean, we all kind of figured Roman Reigns would come out at the end of, like, even with it was just him and Seth Rollins, we figured it was going to be Roman Reigns at the end.
So
now I feel like we're going to still get that result, now in more.
Here's the thing: is like we were pretty much figured it was a guaranteed Roman Reigns winning the championship, beating Seth Rollins.
Right.
So Seth Rollins being out doesn't necessarily have to change the championship. You know,
sure.
For the day after Survivor Series, they could still. Plop that on Roman Reigns, good to go.
Right.
But it feels more obvious now than it does. And I guess that's because
they just had a tournament.
Well,
for the number one contenderships to make it seem like Roman Reigns earned this position.
Yeah. Oh, I really did like the whole. I thought Triple H was great. Roman was okay.
Sure. Well, yeah. But, I'm glad they at least addressed it.
Because
it would have been really weird if they were just like, yeah, we know you already went through a tournament to get your number one contendership, and we don't necessarily want you to be the big boss at the end.
Yeah.
That tends to be a more, you know, heelish type thing. So I'm glad that they addressed it, and I'm glad that the UK audience in Manchester booed the crap out of him whenever he said he was just... you know, he was going to fight or whatever.
He's
going
to do it
the right
the morally upstanding way.
And Manchester told him where he could shove that.
So, well, here's the thing. It's it feels like Roman winning is now so painfully obvious mm-hmm. that it's almost like they won't do that because it's so painfully obvious. And if that's the case... this will be the second time that Roman was picked to win something and it gets taken away from him because of Seth issues.
Because it's painfully obvious.
Yeah.
The audiences have
twice in 1 year.
We'll see how they react to Roman next Monday when they're back in the States. Because they're in, what, Greenville, South Carolina?
Yeah.
I think that's what they said. And, I mean, far be it for me to make fun of our Carolina, you know, neighbors. But they dumb. And I don't necessarily see them being all that smarky and booing Roman Reigns against Cesaro. Because he's a foreigner and they don't really like foreigners down there.
Part of the thing is, with Seth gone, there's not really any main event heel. Like, there's the Authority is the main event heel, but that's just Triple H, and they're faces half the time anyway, and so and they don't really count because they don't wrestle.
Sure.
So, but Seth was that main event heel. Mm-hmm. Rusev is not.
Well, he's also hurt.
Yeah, Randy Orton is hurt.
I guess the next guy down, I mean, honestly, we still, like, there's still a big question mark next to Del Rio.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, he's very much a heel because he's, you know, he's full on heel tactics right now. Mm-hmm. But he's got a question mark because I'm not sure how it's working.
Well, that's the thing is, like
with, so far, I'm okay with it.
Del Rio and Owens seem to kind of be the next in line, but they both have titles already, and I don't think they're quick to get them, you know, they I don't think they're quick to put them in the main title scene.
They'll include them in the conversation, but they won't include them into the actual
scene. Right. So it really feels like we're due for somebody to turn heel. Or to be that main event heel against Roman's main event face.
Right.
And so the...
I'm guessing we're having the same thought right now?
Well, okay, so the obvious answer, the not good answer, but the obvious thing that WWE is probably considering is Dean Ambrose.
Right, turning him heel.
We will not boo Dean Ambrose and cheer Roman Reigns.
Dude.
This isn't like a statement or declaration. This is just an FYI for WWE. That's not going to happen.
Right. I mean, okay, here's the thing. They've been having... They've had Dean Ambrose treading water for a long time. Like, not...
Yeah.
He's on the show, but not necessarily doing anything. But they'll know... They'll bring him... They'll put him on the show in whatever limited capacity... Because they know he's going to get a reaction.
Yeah.
You know? So I would, you know, as a guy that likes Dean Ambrose, yeah, I would like to see him doing something meaningful. So I guess I'll take that over nothing. But at the same time, having him turn heel, I don't know. I'm sure he'll knock it out of the park.
I don't want to make it
seem like he's just the Seth Rollins replacement as far as like the Authority, like just, you know, like an interchangeable part.
Right, right.
Like, I want him to do... If he's going to turn heel, I want him to do his own thing.
Version of a heel, yeah. But I don't buy the audience being able to get behind. And I have flashes to, like... And then, like, Punk's a heel, you guys. No, he's not.
Right.
That's funny that you think that.
Yeah.
And I feel like after WrestleMania's 30 and 31, there is the little bit of this attitude of, we can force you to change...
Right.
In the WWE universe. And so it doesn't happen all the time. It doesn't even happen a lot. But I feel like there are these like moments of, no, we shall not be moved on this thing. And I think we booing Dean Ambrose while we're cheering Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Don't think it's going to happen. And so here's the thing. I really, really hate to say it, but it's the smarter decision, I think. And that's Sheamus. Yeah. but he's already heelish. I will cheer Roman Reigns over Sheamus.
They found that one thing. All right.
Like, I'll do it. I won't be happy about it.
Right.
But I'll do it.
So you're thinking like a face versus face match to end the tournament.
Yeah.
And then Sheamus coming out and
cashing in,
which also works because the other guy that Roman's fighting isn't going to get a rematch because they don't hold the title.
Right.
So they can just jump straight into
Roman gets his rematch at TLC. Easy enough to do. I mean, I'm still totally fine with a failed cash in.
I'm totally fine with letting the clock run out. It just, Sheamus just runs out of time and just goes until next summer holding the briefcase.
God, I don't know. What a freaking waste of Money in the Bank, man.
It's never happened. Part of me kind of is okay with seeing how that plays out.
See, I would be...
And if anyone would do it, why not be someone I care nothing about?
I would be interested. The little storyline where Dean Ambrose was preventing Seth Rollins from cashing in. Mm-hmm. Like, and obviously, I don't think that storyline had the legs to last an entire year.
No.
But if that storyline started in, like, you know, mid-May?
Yeah.
Where it's like, you have, you know, there are 4 more Raws before that contract expires. You won't be cashing that in. And he gets more and more desperate each week. I could be interested in that. I could get behind that.
Or if like the deadline is like you have to cash this in before the next Money in the Bank match. Maybe like do that where like he's last ditch effort.
That last Monday.
Or just on the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
You know, like he tries to cash in and or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll be successful or whatever, but I don't know. You could do some interesting stuff.
I would be interested in that. You are right.
And again, like I said, like why not try it on somebody I don't care about? You know, if they did that with Ziggler, I'd be pretty mad.
I'd be very stressed.
So, I don't know. I think a better option, if they're going to use some sort of interchangeable part for whoever's going to be the next authority guy.
Yeah.
Just turn Roman heel.
Turning Roman heel is better than turning Dean heel.
I mean, you could get a Roman-Dean program out of it. Roman would get a mouthpiece because he would be with the authority.
Yeah.
You know?
So we
don't have to sit through his just atrocity promos.
Well, the thing is, if you turn one of those guys heel, then you have one lone face from the Shield being betrayed by both his buddies. And
I don't know. For some reason, I really feel like they're going to have a hard time getting a heel reaction out of people when Seth comes back.
Oh, yeah, no. When Seth comes back, he's a face.
Right.
But he's not coming back till after WrestleMania, pretty safely. Like, WrestleMania is just under 6 months away, so, like they could push for it.
Would be a good Monday night after
WrestleMania return. Yeah, that would be good.
Yeah.
And it could also be a thing where he returns a little early but doesn't wrestle until, you know, 3 weeks after his return at some big event.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Also, I do have good news, and this is related to the Seth Rollins injury. Seth Rollins will continue with his entry in the Up, Up, Down, Down Madden 16 tournament. He will be there, and he will continue.
We can all rest.
He was actually pretty good.
All right.
I'm glad he's continuing, you know, because Chicago Bears, let's go.
No. But yeah, it's the kind of thing. So this Monday Night Raw, by the way, was the first since Seth Rollins' debut that he was not on.
Yeah, since the Shield's debut. Yeah.
So almost 3 years
straight.
Mm-hmm. Without missing a Raw.
He deserves a break. I feel bad that it came like this.
Yeah. No. Me too.
But yeah, like he's, and it's gonna be one of those things where, you know, his absence has absolutely been noted because it's.
The guy is Superstar of the Year.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine somebody at this point in the year.
For us, for the classies, yeah, absolutely. You know, he's been the workhorse for the past few years, but especially this year.
Yeah. I mean, I think Roman probably's got it in the bag for the slammy.
Well, yes, for the you know, stuffed ballots, yes.
Yeah. Like, I think that's a pretty easy victory for him, but no, there's no one that comes even close, I think, for Superstar of the Year.
It would be hilarious if, like, still to this day, like, Mizdow wins. I mean, he's not even going to be on the ballot, I'm sure, but
yeah,
one can fantasize, I guess.
Some dude in the crowd this week looked like Damian Sandow, and I was like, is that his new gimmick? Oh, no, that's a crowd fella.
There was that one kid, You could hear above anyone, everyone else.
That's what you get for messing with Ziggler?
That's what you get for messing with Dolph Ziggler!
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I thought it was incredible. And I feel like that kid should now be homeschooled and take on the road and be like Ziggler's little Jimmy.
Or Tyler Breeze's heckler. Just whoever he messed with the previous week, that's what you get.
Porque no los dos. Like, let's, sure, I don't care.
So
the kid can have multiple jobs.
Yeah. The other thing that's happening.
There's another thing that's happening?
Yeah. The Undertaker and Kane came back.
Yes.
Apparently, Bray Wyatt is just awful at reaping souls. He did it very ineffectively.
And apparently, Kane and Undertaker has zero cares to give about this whole four guys on two guys thing.
Yeah.
Because they pretty soundly beat up all four of them.
They did. They did.
It's kind of putting to bed the, you know, well, they're going to need backup, you know. They're going to need, like, a Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
With other people. Now I'm just like, they're going to do a 4-on-2, aren't they?
So, 4-on-2's pretty ridiculous. Like, handicaps usually, one side has one extra guy over the other one.
Right.
It's
almost as ridiculous as, oh, I don't know, CM Punk versus the entire Shield and winning.
Yeah. I forgot how that goes.
And I think it was the same show, Daniel Bryan versus the Wyatt family, and I think he won.
Did he? Oh, I remember.
I think they both won.
I think you might be right, because I remember having to make the predictions for that, being like, one of these has got to go one way, and one of these has got to go the other way.
Or, because I remember I didn't get the Shield versus Punk correctly. So I think I might have switched it. Like, Daniel Bryan was going to win over the Wyatts. And
mm-hmm. And I think I hedged my bets and did them both one the same way.
Yeah.
So that I would, and that's how I beat you by one. That was that year.
Yeah, because that was at TLC, wasn't
yep.
it?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You're winning by much more this year.
Yeah, this year's a good
not
year.
Not much more, like four. I think I'm behind like 4 or 5.
I'm winning by enough that I can start to like just coast on the safety wins. I don't have to like reach into the hat and try to
pull an upset.
Pick a super winner. Yeah.
Yeah.
But no. Okay. So about this whole thing with the Undertaker, the Wyatt things.
Okay.
At this point, I kind of just wish that Undertaker hadn't showed up at WrestleMania 31.
Yeah.
If it was going to be that, friggin'.
If they had any idea that this was going to be going on Survivor Series, they should have just let it be.
Well, like, he didn't show up for any of the promos. Bray Wyatt did amazing, but it was still painfully one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
They had to wait an awkward amount of time to let the sun go down.
Right.
And then it was still way too bright.
Right.
For that Undertaker entrance.
So you were thinking that maybe it would have been better had Undertaker, like, in storyline, just ignored Bray Wyatt's challenges?
I mean,
to kind of set this up for later in the year?
I would have given Bray Wyatt something else to do for WrestleMania 31.
Okay.
And I would have, just Undertaker. And I get like, the, oh, he has to bring out another win to get his mojo back kind of thing. But, like, imagine he doesn't show up at 31 and then appears at freaking Battleground, of all places.
Right.
His next appearance 15 months later. And then goes straight into this, because this whole Brothers of Destruction versus Wyatt family should be a really exciting, fantastic feud.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the fact that we saw, you know, Undertaker pretty much destroy Bray Wyatt
right
earlier this year.
Right.
Like, it's not even pulling out the whole trivia from 5 years ago or 3 years ago. It was earlier this year.
Yeah.
Wyatt called him out and then got destroyed.
Yeah.
And so they still have time, and I feel like it was an exciting, we got to show the Undertaker being awesome at his, you know, moment of return.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll get, the brothers will get beat down pretty bad next week on Raw.
Right.
But right now, it's like, this is a lot of talk and no backing it up from the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a good thing.
Yeah. again, like, it's just, you know, why have two guys beat up on four guys 2 weeks before a pay-per-view where they're obviously going to all, you know,
face off? Yeah.
So I don't know. And again, like it, like we said, it kind of makes no sense for them to put a team together at this point.
Apparently they don't need it.
Apparently they don't need it.
So, how cool is it though to be Boog Strugan and like pretty much your first mega feud is with friggin' The Undertaker?
I did notice one thing, because like, because his name rhymes with Rowan. So, I think those two should just form a tag team called Strowan.
Okay.
Or we could just come up with more random names for him. Dirk Durgan.
You know who I'm talking about. I don't need to.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Like, it doesn't matter, like, what iteration it is.
Because you're like, I noticed his name was rhymes with Rowan. And I'm sitting there being like, what is his real name?
Braun Strowman. Yeah, Braun Strowman.
I believe you.
Yeah.
I believe you.
So, Strowman.
So Undertaker and Brothers of Destruction win this match?
Yeah.
Where do you go from there, then? Like, golly.
A lot of people are saying that, you know, something's going to happen between him and Kane, and that's going to be the WrestleMania match this year. But do we really need a third one? WrestleMania match. I know they fought many more other times, but they needed a third WrestleMania match.
I mean, part of the thing is, like, they haven't feuded since 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And if somebody's going to send The Undertaker out, it should be Kane.
Or vice versa.
Yeah, or vice versa.
If this is Kane's goodbye,
yeah,
then who better than Undertaker? Yeah.
Yeah, because the only other thing, like, Undertaker could fight Sting, but like,
we don't.
Not pushing for that.
after Night of Champions,
not pushing for it. And the other thing is Cena, and it's kind of this like, which, you know, which trigger will they pull, the Cena losing trigger or the Undertaker losing at WrestleMania trigger? But at the same time, like, Undertaker doesn't need Cena to be on the list of names he defeated to like make his streak legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
And Cena doesn't need the I retired Undertaker feather in his cap. Like, there's nothing.
Right.
There's nothing good about it. And at least with Kane,
Because you know the fan backlash with Cena beating Undertaker clean at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Even if the streak is no longer intact, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, no. But at least with Kane, there is.
It'd be a great way to turn him heel.
Kane has this poetic story bookend thing,
mm-hmm,
where that's. It's always been about this, these two brothers, one of them finishing the other off for good 100% of the time at WrestleMania. So I'm okay with that. It also doesn't hurt. We haven't seen it in 5 years.
True.
So there's a fair amount of current wrestling fans that have never seen a Brothers of Destruction match.
Sure, yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
And there's an even. Because that 2010 feud was the first one in a while.
Right.
So there is a probably pretty sizable amount of the fan base that has seen 0-1 Taker-Kane feuds.
Right.
And isn't, like, sick of them.
But enough people, you know, have seen and heard of the whole Brothers of Destruction thing. So when they start cheering the people that haven't, you're like, oh, okay, this should be a big deal then.
Yeah, but I think people know who they are still,
sure,
and know their relationship. So I'm okay with that. That's really how I would book it. I think is with Kane doing the honors.
It does kind of feel like this is going to be Undertaker's last WrestleMania.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
Which is fine.
I mean,
with the streak over, like, it's like, you know, what else are you going to have him come out and do every year?
It's not so much a feeling of about time, but a feeling of, like, freaking well-deserved.
Sure,
like,
yeah, absolutely. Like, if anyone deserves to, like, ride off in the sunset with as much healthiness as he possibly can have right now, absolutely that guy.
But just,
same with Sting.
All I really want is, when's WrestleMania? April?
Yes.
Early April, April like 6th or something?
April 6th, yeah. I think. April 6th or 7th. Awesome.
So, April 18th or whatever, by that point, Undertaker on Stone Cold podcast.
Okay.
Like, come on.
Well, isn't like, aren't they saying like next week is Undertaker week or something? I think I saw that on like the bottom banner.
Yeah, but that's just, they're going to
show
Undertaker's greatest hits.
I know, but it would also be a good time for Stone Cold podcast. I want that podcast.
I really want that podcast.
But I understand, like, he's really serious about staying in character.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Sure, that's important to him. But I want an out of character interview documentary thing.
Yeah,
I would buy that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, in a freaking heartbeat.
Yeah.
I mean,
I wouldn't care if it's going to be on the network few months afterwards. Mm-hmm.
There are not a lot of, especially with the network now, there are not a lot of documentaries that like adorn my shelf. I have an Edge one because it was really cheap. I have a Rock one because it was really cheap. I have a couple of Mankind's.
And but again,
personal
were,
favorite.
Well, yeah, it was personal favorite, and it was technically before the network.
Yeah,
the ones that came out with, I don't know, the ones that are the documentaries that are coming out now seem to be. They really seem to be taking their time on putting them on the network.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last full-on documentary that they made that went on there was the Randy Savage one.
Well, they're also...
Because I know that Jerry Lawler one still isn't on there.
I feel like they are actually also putting more into the documentary. Yeah. And part of it's that they are doing a lot of... older people with Randy Savage, Jerry Lawler, people who have an entire career to build off of.
Right.
Like, that. This thing is...
An entire career that you can go back through the network and watch.
Well, I mean, like, a lot of those, like the Rock documentary I have, like, that's halfway through Rock's career.
Yeah.
And that's halfway through Rock's main career. Like, all this coming back stuff, not even a blip on it.
Right.
I have the first Edge documentary, mm-hmm. which, again, like, that's... maybe the midway point.
Yeah.
So I had to go get the, what's the second one called? What was the one when you retired? Not Decade of Decadence. It's, geez.
You think you know me?
I think, yeah. Cause I knew it was his song.
Yeah.
I believe,
and that one, yeah, honestly, I think that second one was incredible.
It's incredible, but it's, that's the one that's like, he has a career and there's a career arc and retrospective on looking back on the whole thing, you know, there was this time period where just friggin' everybody gets a documentary. Mm-hmm.
It is kind of weird to see, like I think maybe Punk was the last one to get a documentary, like, in the middle of his career.
Yeah.
Well, towards the end of his career, but we didn't know that at the time.
Right, that's the thing, is like, and that Punk one, the Punk one ends right when he won his first World Heavyweight Championship. So his entire, you know, record-breaking... year,
right?
Not even a blip on the, you know, documentary because it doesn't exist.
It sounds like it's a very different Punk after that.
Yeah,
the documentary. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, you know, that's when it kind of goes downhill. That stuff, you know, I would be interested to see in a documentary, but WWE ain't going to make that documentary.
Exactly. So, but that's the thing is, so with this Randy Savage one,
I will say this. I did see the other day the. Because ESPN does the 30 for 30 series that are
right.
really mm-hmm. good. Really good documentaries. They are making one on Ric Flair.
Yeah, I've saw that.
I'm super excited about that.
Is it a full episode of 30 for 30?
Yeah, so it'll be like a full
length. It's not one of those like little nuggets or whatever they call the short things?
No, that's E60.
Okay.
They do the short, like the Scott Hall one.
It's a 30 for 30, but it's just not an hour long.
Right. I mean, they also do like 30 for 30 shorts, but those just get put on their website.
Yeah.
But I believe this is going to be a full-fledged, you know, hour and a half, 2 hour documentary.
I mean, I'm all about that.
Yeah, like, me too, absolutely.
But that's the kind of thing is like with the Randy Savage thing, and again, a lot of people talked about like they did miss this and they missed some stuff. They're trying to fit a documentary length thing. It's not a Ken Burns miniseries.
Right.
But it does feel like they're looking back on a man's life and career and legacy as a whole mm-hmm. piece of work. And so I would like to see that for more people, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Undertaker's really the only one where I'm itching for it. I would kind of like a full, honest documentary with Daniel Bryan, because he has such a long career, but it's going to be so much like indie footage.
That's the thing.
It seems like they had a pretty decent relationship with Ring of Honor whenever they did the Punk documentary. But then again, this is going to be more of that.
Like, they did, but like...
with
Daniel Bryan. I feel like when you go to Daniel Bryan, mm-hmm. like... Daniel Bryan gets to the WWE at like the hour and 10 minute mark,
right,
of his documentary. Like, where there's so much stuff before that.
I am kind of liking what they're doing with some of the NXT guys, like what they did with Finn Balor leading up to Beast in the East. They did like a 3-part 10-minute series on the NXT episodes leading up to it, and then they released it like all together as a kind of a short little biography.
Yeah,
had a lot of, you know, footage from Independence and from New Japan.
Well,
I like that.
Part of it is like, yeah, in this day and age, like, you can't ignore that people are coming to the WWE with a pretty sizable career already.
Right.
You know, you go back and look at some of those documentaries, like, and then Edge decided to be in the WWE.
Right.
That was the first thing he did.
Never wrestled for anybody else.
Nope.
I mean, they're not necessarily, like, ignoring. They cut out as much TNA discussion as they possibly can. Because they pretty much ignore that for Mick Foley's and for Sting's, I believe.
Yeah, they ignore TNA. They will mention, if it's WCW, they will mention...
Oh, yeah, because they own WCW.
They mention...
They own the
he went to WCW, and they didn't know what to do with him. So he came to WWE, and we took care of that.
Yeah, those bumbling idiots in WCW. Glad we put them out of business. All right, guys? That's exactly how it happened.
Yes.
Yeah.
To the T.
To the T. Just moving along a little bit.
Okay.
We could technically go to WrestleMania.
Yeah, I know.
Tickets went on sale this past weekend. And man, those cheap seats, though. I could technically afford it. The only bad thing is I don't like flying.
It's in Texas.
It is Texas, and I don't think Joel would be willing to go halfsies on a rental car and drive.
I don't want to drive or fly.
I don't want to fly. I will say this. One of these years, me and you need to save up and do one of those travel packages that WWE offers. They're all sold out now, so there's like...
Oh, that's yeah.
Like, yeah. But like, you know, because then like you're guaranteed to get a ticket for... WrestleMania and Raw the next night. Because I did check the regular tickets for the Monday night after WrestleMania aren't available yet.
Okay.
So, I don't know. It would be nice. Like, if I'm going to go, I would like to do it right and go to the Hall of Fame, check out Access a little bit. If they're going to do an NXT event, do that as well.
Right.
You know, as well as the WrestleMania and the Raw.
WrestleMania is obviously on a bucket list. I'm sure it's on a bucket list for everybody
listening
if they haven't already gone to one. Yeah, it's just...
And I mean, like, if it was somewhere closer, then I'd be a little bit more willing to, like, oh, I'll go just for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
You know? But if I'm going to...
If it was closer, I might be willing to drive.
Sure. I'm really hoping that whenever they build this new Atlanta Falcons stadium, it's supposed to be huge. I'm hoping that that'll draw a WrestleMania back here on the southern East Coast.
Atlanta.
It's doable.
Atlanta, all right.
It's not my favorite city, and it wouldn't be my first choice, but it's kind of the closest one to us.
Awesome, Atlanta.
Because I don't think there's any... I can't think of any other domes. Mm-hmm. I mean, technically, I guess we could have done New Orleans.
Yeah, we could have.
Or Florida.
Heather went to New Orleans the week after WrestleMania.
Right, yeah, I remember
so
that.
So all the WrestleMania banners were still up.
There's rumors now that that WrestleMania 33 is going to be in Minneapolis. They have a new stadium.
All right.
Or they're going to have a new stadium by then.
All right.
Apparently, the mayor...
Maybe then they'll do a Shield triple threat.
Right. I think the mayor accidentally let it slip when he wasn't supposed to.
Oh, really?
He was like, oh, well, you know, with this event coming and this one, and then WrestleMania coming next year, and everyone was just like, what? And, like, WWE quickly was like, we have Minneapolis, of course, is on a short list for us, but we have not made that decision yet. And I'm like, okay.
Ooh.
Because, you know, clearly, like, you know, with
I hope we didn't just lose them WrestleMania.
That would be so hilarious if they're, oh, man. What if they go to, like, an NFL rival and go to, like, Chicago?
I'm telling you.
Even though it's open-air stadium.
WWE does not like to be predictable. Like,
no.
Like, they have swerved on stupider things for stupider reasons.
You know, because they pretty much let it... I don't know if they announced, but they pretty much let it out in the media pretty soon after they announced where 31 was going to be, they announced that 32 was going to be in Dallas,
yeah,
or Arlington or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of weird that, you know, they still haven't confirmed where 33 is going to be.
I don't know.
It seems like, because for a while it felt like the announcement was getting earlier and earlier every year.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll find out on WrestleMania.
That's fine. I'm probably not going to go to 33 either. I'm probably eyeballing, like, 37.
Sure. Because you really think Panther Stadium is ever going to get a WrestleMania? No.
No.
No, not at all.
Maybe if they win the Super Bowl this year.
Okay. I'll let you. Your team is doing very well
right
this
now.
Year.
We're doing great, and
my team is doing quite.
And bad. I'm refusing to watch anything.
That curse is real.
I'm telling you, man. Never seen the Panthers win a game. Never.
And they're doing really good.
So
they're,
I'm not watching.
Defeated.
I'm
this
just
is, classy sports attire.
All the sports.
All the sports. All the time.
All right. Hey, what's making you happy?
We're starting Ballin' 2 this weekend.
Yeah.
Joel's directorial debut.
No, it's not.
For Irrelevant But Awesome.
All right, yes. Sure.
It's your first crack at an Irrelevant But Awesome short film.
It's back to the directing part of it, which
yeah.
I wrote a hilarious thing, and I was like, I'm done. Into the drawer with this.
Because you thought someone else was going to direct
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
And so I directed my thing, and now I was the one that called out Joel and be like, hey, it's time for you to direct your thing.
I'm being bullied here.
I don't care.
This is bullying.
You're going to love it. You're going to have a lot of fun.
I'm going to love it.
You're going to love it. You're going to have fun. Plus, think about it this way. You don't have to edit the dumb thing. That's me. I get to edit it again. That's easily the worst part.
I'm just saying, like,
you get to tell everyone what to do, hand over the footage, and be like, your problem now.
Yeah. But I might be a little more strict on line memorization than you were.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. You should be. I should have been more strict with that. This is why we should tag team these things.
Yeah. So, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. It will be a learning experience.
Yeah.
As they all are.
And yeah, that's kind of like the point behind it. Like, we're both getting our feet wet with this stuff and learning, and, you know, that way when we make really good stuff later, we have experience.
We have hilarious extras to put on the DVDs.
Sure, absolutely. Be like, hey, you like, we made this really good movie that we think is incredible, and you guys are going to think it's incredible, but before this, we made some crap. Watch this crap and laugh your head off at how awful it is.
But not Ballin' 2. Ballin' 2 is going to be awesome.
Ballin' 2 is going to be great, and Take or Taken is a fantastic. You should go on YouTube and watch it now.
All right. Anything wrestling related?
The tournament is a good way to make these next couple weeks of WWE TV interesting. So I'm enjoying that. I think it's interesting that they're feeding Cesaro to Roman next week.
They lined that up real nice, didn't they?
Sure did. And I thought it was kind of obvious, and I'm glad that they didn't go this route, but I was like, Sheamus and Ziggler. Was it Sheamus and Ziggler?
Is it Sheamus and Ziggler, really?
I believe it was. Or no, that's what it was this week, and Ziggler got the roll-up win.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, all right, that's a good swerve, I guess.
Well, so Sheamus can be extra well-rested for that cash.
Sure, he can be extra mad. I'm assuming, because Dean beat Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, Dean beat Tyler
Breeze.
Yeah,
so I'm assuming they're going to continue Tyler Breeze and Ziggler. And he'll probably, because I think Ziggler and Dean Ambrose are going to face off next week. I'm thinking Tyler Breeze is going to probably interfere with that. What do you think is going to be the final two? Like, we know Roman's going to be one.
Roman, well,
I should probably pull up the bracket so we can know what's possible.
Yeah. Who would Tyler Breeze be interfering on behalf of?
Probably just coming out and attacking Ziggler.
Even though he lost to Dean Ambrose.
Hey, I'm not saying that it makes any sense. I'm just saying what's probably going to happen.
All right, that's a bold, interesting statement.
I hate WWE's website, by the way.
Roman's a pretty clear contender for the top list, the top final two.
Mm-hmm.
Dean,
Yeah, Dean's on the other side of the bracket. That on the other side of the bracket, Neville and King Barrett still haven't faced off.
Well, they're both going to get eliminated, so that's cool.
And then it's Kevin Owens, Ziggler, and Ambrose.
Ambrose, then. Like,
it's going to come down to Reigns and Ambrose?
I mean, it really feels like it.
Yeah. Oh, right. Like, yeah, like our... I'm assuming, well, Neville and Barrett... I'm assuming since whoever wins that will go up against Owens, I'm assuming it's going to be Neville.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that the other side of the bracket is going to be Owens, Neville, Ziggler, Ambrose. Ambrose is going to beat Ziggler. Owens is probably going to beat Neville.
And then Owens and Ambrose?
Yeah.
Yep. That, I mean, that's fine.
Sure.
That's good TV. So.
And I mean, like, okay, you put Roman Reigns on the same side of the bracket as Cesaro, Del Rio, Stardust, Kalisto, and Ryback. Come on. Come on. The only, like, real, like, kayfabe contender there in the WWE's eyes is Del Rio.
Yeah.
So it's going to come to Roman Reigns and Del Rio. It's
friggin' your all-stars on one side, right, and then Roman Reigns versus the friggin' Muppet Babies on the other side.
Absolutely.
All right.
Now, do you think... do you think they're going to have it like the quarter or the semifinals and the finals in the same night in Survivor Series? Because that's the way I would go.
Yes. To fill up the card. Well, yeah, that's the thing is like with this tournament filling up a lot of time now, I don't know how much other card feud we have building.
Because I would do whoever makes it into this next round. I feel like because that's four matches. I feel like you take care of all of those on Raw next week. So you have your final four.
Yeah.
And then your final four go into the Survivor Series.
So you have three matches, tournament style.
Mm-hmm.
You have your Wyatt Brothers of Destruction match. You have a Divas match.
That's five.
Tag team match, probably.
A tag team match, probably. And they'll probably do, I'm assuming, a Breeze and Ziggler and a... probably not Intercontinental or US because those guys are probably still going to be in the brackets.
I mean, but you're looking at 6, 7, 8 matches there. So that's a card.
Yeah, for a tent pole pay per view for WWE, that's seems about right.
I'd like to point out there's no Survivor Series elimination match on that card.
They still technically got time to turn that Brothers of Destruction Whites into a tag team lead. It might be a very one-sided.
It might be a 2 versus 4.
But I'm assuming, like, if there is going to be a match between those two, you know, teams, the way that they currently are, it's probably going to be an elimination. Probably. So they can eventually get down to even numbers and then win.
Yep.
I mean, they'll probably go, like, both guys not
eliminated. I mean, part of the thing is, like, don't you need both Brothers of Destruction standing in the ring victorious at the end?
Yeah, absolutely.
So...
And honestly, it doesn't matter even if they have a team. It's still going to come down to the Brothers of Destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, if you need some fodder to you know, kick off it to begin with, but no.
Yeah.
All right.
I think anything that's else? Pretty much it, yeah.
All right. Anything mail sacky?
No mail sacky. I will say, just remind everybody that we're still doing the Class Ring Attire 200th podcast in a few weeks. Early December right now. We still don't have a exact date just yet. We're still waiting on exactly when Blair's going to be free to come down to this crummy United States. But once we get that information, we'll send that out to you guys. Just kind of keep your ears open and kind of like plan around that week of us doing the live stream.
All right. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at CRITire, where we live tweet Mondays and appropriate Sundays.
And if you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about on the show, send those over, all that over to our email. That's classroomingattire@gmail.com.
We're also on iTunes. Easy way to follow us. Easy way to subscribe to the podcast. Give us a rating of
5 stars.
Or write a review. That stuff kind of just helps out the podcast.
And if you are listening to us on insidepulse.com/wrestling, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. Easy way to just kind of see what else we're doing. Stuff like Ballin' 2 and et cetera is going to be on there. As always, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.